Our last case this morning is 2015-384 and 2015-385, the State of Ohio versus Rafael Gonzalez. For the appellant, we have Mr. Harold.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. My name is David Harold for the State of Ohio. I'll be sharing time today with Ms. Wilson from the Solicitor General's office. I would like to give her 5 minutes of time and reserve three in rebuttal. If this court were to adopt the holding of the Sixth District in this case, it would profoundly change in a negative way how cocaine cases are charged, prosecuted, and sentenced. No court in Ohio and no state in the United States, with the exception of Georgia and New York, look at the weighing of cocaine in the aggregate. The state of Georgia, I would draw your attention to them. In the Georgia Code 16-13-31, looks at how you charge cocaine when you want to look at purity. And that state said that when you have a case where, in that case, when it was an ounce of cocaine or more, that if the mixture was 10% pure, and they specify that in the statute, and it is above a certain weight in grams, then you can charge that, and it's weighed in the substance involved is weighed in the aggregate. The purity is established with 10%. At that point, if it's above that.
And 10%, it's being read by the Sixth District that 10% has to represent a certain weight.
Correct.
To determine its concentration in the aggregate.
Correct. What the Sixth District is doing is it's created a sliding scale from the very, very small drug offender to the most major drug offender you could imagine for possession of cocaine. And what they're doing is saying if you have, for example, 100 grams of cocaine, and it's only 80% pure, that becomes 80 grams of cocaine. Now, what that'll do is it'll drop at a level of the offense, which is why more than a sentencing issue, it's a charging issue as well. Because there's no way that the state, when someone is caught in possession of cocaine, will know the purity of that substance, the drug involved. That has to go to a lab and be tested. Now, no cases in Ohio have ever tested for purity. The state labs in Ohio weigh in the aggregate, and every case that has looked at this issue under 29-25-11, as well as 29-25-03, the trafficking statute, uses the exact same language, the exact same delineations.
Counsel, is there a threshold below which you couldn't go and still have a proper charge and conviction in terms of how far down can you cut this stuff to the point where it becomes junk instead of cocaine?
Well, that would become a testing issue. And if the cocaine was tested by BCI and they couldn't determine that cocaine was in it, because they traditionally test from different areas of when the drug comes in, they test different areas. If only maybe one part of that tested for a small amount of cocaine and the other areas they tested didn't, then I imagine that a charge wouldn't go forward.
So if you've got, what do you call it, these bricks, is that what they're called?
Right.
If it's 99% flour and 1% cocaine, is that going to do it?
And again,
if
it would depend
it's dispersed throughout the whole thing?
Well, if it's dispersed throughout the whole thing, then what the person who has that cocaine is trying to do is to make the most profit by cutting it as much as humanly possible and hoping that the person who eventually gets the cocaine at the end stage doesn't realize they've been had. So, and quite frankly, you're not going to have issues where it's 1% and 2% cocaine. Talking with the Georgia prosecutor about the Georgia statute that I had mentioned, he said that 10% is something that they make without breaking a sweat, because most times the drug involved has a high level of cocaine in it, is what he placed it. That's why people buy it. That's what makes it have the effect people want to have. So In theory, certainly. In practice, probably not, is the best answer I can tell you.
So what did you have here?
We don't know. In fact, we don't know in any case that's tested for cocaine. BCI labs don't test for purity. We don't know what the purity was of the cocaine.
You only tested the 139 grams baggie.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? It was embedded in fake kilos of whatever that was.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we had 139 grams of this, and that's 39 grams more than the 100 cutoff.
Yes, ma'am.
And you don't know whether it was 10% pure or 90% pure.
That is correct? That is correct.
And you're saying that doesn't matter.
It doesn't, Your Honor.
So if it was 1% pure, you still would say that the state's statute has been violated and he meets the definition?
Yes, ma'am.
But the code doesn't talk about a mixture of cocaine, does it? I mean, if the legislature wanted to have it be any cocaine within a mixture of a certain amount, it could have easily said that. Instead, it's talking about amount of cocaine as an element of the offense, correct?
That's correct to an extent. That exists because of Senate Bill 2. Before Senate Bill 2, cocaine, as well as other substances, this doesn't just deal with cocaine. Most of the drugs involved, whether you're looking at marijuana, heroin, they're weighed in the aggregate. After Senate Bill 2, there was a wish to make a differentiation between powder cocaine and crack cocaine. Because of that, the statute had to specify when it's powder, we traditionally think of as powder cocaine, it needs to be this weight. When it's crack cocaine, it needs to be this weight. After House Bill 86, and there was a movement that it really wasn't fair to punish somebody different for having one type of cocaine over another, every word that said crack cocaine in the statute was eliminated from its definition to the sentencing structure in both trafficking and possession.
But we're still talking about amount of the drug, the amount of the drug being a necessary element of whatever level of crime we're talking about.
Correct, which is why with both when the drug involved is cocaine, when the drug involved is marijuana, it's a compound mixture preparation or substance containing that substance. If you look at the marijuana statute, that's how it reads. When you look at the heroin statute, that's how it reads. When you look at the cocaine statute, that word wasn't removed, sadly, when they were changing the statute. Though I still believe that you can look at that word cocaine and look at it in the broader context, how it was used earlier in the statute, and still argue that that's why courts, including this court in a crack cocaine case a few years back, didn't question the amount of purity. They just said it deals with the weight of the substance.
But if we're talking about two ways of reading a statute, the rule of lenity says that we give the defendant the benefit of the doubt. And when we say amount of the drug, whatever the drug is, we're not saying the amount of the mixture containing the drug.
At the beginning of the statute, it deals with the idea that the drug involved, in this case containing cocaine, comes in a mixture. That the drug is traditionally not pure. It can be, but in many cases it's not. I would argue that looking at the idea of the intent of the legislature, the rule of lenity doesn't need to be utilized in this case. In fact, there was a case that State versus Arnold, where because of how the statute was worded, people that were guilty of aggravated drug trafficking had a lesser penalty than people that had been convicted of drug trafficking. And in that case, Justice Brown, for a unanimous court, said, this doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense that you would have a statute that prosecuted somebody for a lesser offense more than someone who had been convicted of a greater offense. And he said that lenity doesn't have to be used in that case. A case that I found that I think is really illustrative to this case is a United States Supreme Court case. It's the United States versus American Trucking Association. It's a case from the end of the Great Depression. And in that case, the Motor Carrier Act had been passed. And the Motor Carrier Act said that any employee of a trucking company cannot work over a 10-hour day. That statute was intended for truckers. But that's not what the statute said. It said any employee, which meant that clerks, people who wash trucks, mechanics, nobody there could work over a 10-hour day. Went up to the Supreme Court because the American Trucking Association realized that was causing a huge problem. And the court recognized through Justice Reed that, and again for a unanimous court, that what was meant was that truckers couldn't work more than 10 hours.
Counsel, do we even need to go that far? I guess I understood your argument to be that if you look at 29.25.11c and you start with four, refers to if the drug involved is either a cocaine or a compound, then you're guilty of possession of cocaine. And then when you drop down to F, it repeats if the amount of the drug involved exceeds. Isn't that your stronger argument before you even get to legislative intent to say if we're talking about the drug involved, it's consistent between 4 and F?
Yes,
do
ma'am.
I understand your argument correctly?
Yes, ma'am. I agree with you that that is a very strong argument. That the statute can provide for, that is one of the reasons why the statute has never been read to view drug in a purity context absent the Sixth District opinion, because they read the same words that you read, and they see that the issue is concerning the drug involved. So I agree with you. If there are no further questions, I will.
Chief Justice O'Connor, it may please the court. My name is Hannah Wilson on behalf of the Attorney General. I'd like to briefly discuss the text of the cocaine penalty provisions and the context in which they arise. Starting with the text, I think Justice French has landed on the issue precisely. The text is at page 51 of the appendix, and it may help to follow along because it jumps back and forth between C4 and C4F. There are two key textual points, and they both start in subsection C4. That's an umbrella provision that informs the penalties for cocaine possession in C4A through F. The first textual point is the statute's use of the phrase, the drug involved. C4 says that possession of cocaine is a violation of the code if the drug involved in the violation is either cocaine or a mixture that contains cocaine. When you turn to C4F, that's the F1 MDO penalty we're talking about today, it says that the penalty is based on the amount of the drug involved. Because we know in C4 that the drug involved may be a mixture that contains cocaine, the penalties in C4F are based on the amount of the mixture that contains cocaine.
Ms. Wilson, I think your friends on the other side would look at that language and say, well, it's not completely clear if you look at the legislative history in terms of the General Assembly trying to differentiate between powder cocaine and crack cocaine. How do you respond to that?
So that would lead me to my second textual point, which is the statute's use of the word cocaine. If you again turn back to C4 and look at the way cocaine is used when you talk about the offense itself, the offense is possession of cocaine if the thing possessed is one of two things, either cocaine as statutorily defined in 29.25.01X or a mixture that contains cocaine. In other words, a defendant is guilty of possession of cocaine if he possesses a mixture that contains cocaine, meaning that the word cocaine within the meaning of the offense encompasses mixtures. So when you turn down to C4F and it uses the word cocaine, it's using it in that broad sense. In other words, they're latching on to the definition of cocaine in 29.25.01X. 29.25.01X defines the thing that's in the mixture, but C4 defines the thing that matters for the penalty. This is the only interpretation that makes sense of the mixture language in C4. If you view the penalty in C4F to be based solely on the pure substance, cocaine as statutorily defined, then why have any reference to mixture language in C4 at all?
Could there ever be a violation, or could there ever be a charge of a compound mixture then of cocaine? Could you ever get to a guilty on that? I guess what I'm asking is, does that offense exist at all?
An offense of like a mixture that contains cocaine.
Right.
So I think in many cases, in cocaine cases, what you see in powder cocaine especially, when it enters the country, it's generally very pure. It's coming from, like, say, Colombia. As it moves through the distribution chain, you'll see drug drug offenders or drug traffickers cutting it in order to increase their profit. So you have 50 grams of cocaine, well, let's make that 100, because no one really knows how pure it is until after they've bought it. So you, for example, in this court's decision in Chandler, the defendant sold a brick of baking powder. And the issue in Chandler was whether that contained a detectable amount of cocaine such that you could have an offense. So you could be violating the offense. So in Chandler, the rule that the court set out was that it must contain a detectable amount of cocaine. So I think that the rule in Chandler that was looking at the trafficking statute, but it seems that that would apply here as well. In Chandler, I would note that the court was focused not on the purity of the cocaine, and yes, they weren't answering the same question, but the fact that they're talking about before you may be a major drug offender, you must simply have a detectable amount of cocaine in the substance recovered. That suggests that this court did not view purity as...
So this testing was done on the 139 grams, and it was a detectable amount, but you don't know what amount.
Yes, so it's...
But it is possible to determine what amount is. You just didn't do that test.
Yes, and no court in Ohio has ever required that test, and in fact...
Well, here's a question. Why not? Why didn't you do it if you have the capacity to do it?
Actually, the state laboratories, BCI, who the attorney general is the head of BCI, BCI lacks the capacity right now to...
Well, I thought you just told me that you could do that test.
It is possible to perform a...
You just don't have the capability.
And in fact, if you look at the amicus brief submitted by the OPAA in Cuyahoga County, no laboratory, no public crime laboratory in Ohio that we are aware of performs that test because it's not required.
Well, that's the difference.
And in the text, as I have just explained, would be the thing that would make that. But I think the fact that...
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Miley.
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. You should affirm the Sixth District, adopt the first sentence of paragraph 47 in the opinion below as your syllabus, and tell the government that it cannot put a person behind bars for 11 years for possession of cocaine. This is not a trafficking case. Without proving how many grams of cocaine the person possessed.
But you would agree if it was a high level of cocaine, it would be trafficking.
This is not a trafficking case, and it depends upon the facts, and they've never pursued this as a trafficking case. I don't know why they didn't do that, but the fact is that they did not. The trafficking statute and the possession statute have different elements and they serve different purposes. Proof that a person possessed cocaine is necessary but not sufficient to sustain a conviction under the F1 version of the statute. And that's exactly why the Sixth District vacated the jury's F1 specification in this case and remanded this for sentencing under the F5 version of this statute. The state basically wants you to excise the words of cocaine from this statute, basically by judicial fiat. Their brief says that was there as some sort of Scrivener's error or what they call a legislative faux pas.
Mr. Miley, if I understood the argument presented to us, the definition of cocaine is either cocaine or a compound, mixture, or substance containing cocaine.
That's what they're saying, but that's totally false.
Well, they're not saying that. That's really in the statute.
The statute defines cocaine. Under 29251A, it's illegal to possess a controlled substance. Here, this controlled substance at issue is cocaine. So we look at the definition of cocaine. The definition of cocaine was set forth by the General Assembly, and by definition, it does not include filler material. So therefore, the answer to the certified conflict question
is yes. What statutory section are you relying on?
There's two sections that define cocaine that can be looked at here. One is 29251X, and the other, I believe, is in Title 37, the controlled substance chapter. I'm not sure the site off the top of my head, although I believe it is in some of the briefs. But either way, the filler material is not covered by the definition. But for other substances, such as marijuana or heroin, the filler is included in the definition. So their theory renders those statutory provisions meaningless. The General Assembly, when it comes to cocaine, is targeting cocaine. It is not targeting possession of filler material such as baking soda.
But Council, if we look at Section 4, it's 29-25-11-C4, if the drug involved is cocaine or a compound.
Containing cocaine.
Compound mixture preparation containing cocaine.
Right.
Correct. But then it says whoever violates Division A of this section is guilty of possession of cocaine.
Right.
And so isn't there where it says possession of cocaine, isn't that including cocaine or the compound mixture?
If you have cocaine that is mixed with nothing, that's a felony. If you have a cocaine that consists within a mixture, that's still a felony. The purpose of that language is to close a loophole for a defendant who takes cocaine, mixes it with something, and says, well, I haven't violated any provision. But the fact that the statute says a mixture that contains cocaine, just by grammar, suggests that it contains cocaine and the other stuff contained within the mixture is not cocaine.
Well, but my concern is matching 4 with F, where if you look at 4, guilty of, if the drug involved is either cocaine or a mixture, then you're guilty of possession of cocaine. And then when you look at F, it repeats that same language. If the amount of the drug involved exceeds or equals or exceeds 100 grams of cocaine, possession of cocaine, which is exactly what 4 said, is a felony of the first degree. The offender is a major drug offender. So that's the trouble I'm having, is how do you get out from under when you're looking specifically at the penalty? It's an F1 and F. How do you get out from under the specific language from Section 4?
Very easily. It says if the amount of the drug involved equals is an adjective that means is the same thing as. So if the amount of the drug involved is the same thing as 100 grams of cocaine, you need to look at 29-25-01X, look at that definition, and they need to show you that this person possessed 100 grams or more of that substance. The form of the substance, whether it's a mixture or whether it's cocaine mixed with nothing, is irrelevant for the penalty purposes. They're targeting cocaine.
And I understand your position on that, but here's my question then. Let's assume that that's true. Let's say if we go back up to 4, and I'm being convicted of the drug involved is a violation, it's a compound.
Sure.
I'm still guilty. I'm still guilty of possession of cocaine.
Yes.
What's my penalty under F? Then, if what I've been, the facts underlying my conviction for possession of cocaine are that it was a compound, then if the amount of the drug involved equals or exceeds cocaine, what's my penalty?
There needs to be proof that the person possessed 100 grams or more of cocaine. If that proof is not present, they have not proved the case. And this gets
doesn't that mean that it's never, that there's never a compound then? I mean, if all you're saying is it's got to be cocaine. And it has to, the weight of it, the purity, the pure cocaine, then goes to whether it could be an F1.
Well,
you're getting right.
I want to back up. Pure cocaine is a misnomer. We throw that term.
I got it.
By definition, cocaine is cocaine. What we're talking about is the purity of the mixture, and they finally conceded that can be determined. If it can be done in Georgia, it can be done in Ohio.
Well,
so I'm
Counsel,
not sure.
That raised an interesting question in my mind. Well, you're saying it has to be 100 grams of cocaine, so it could be a compound if you had 200 grams and 100 of it was 50% pure.
If they prove that. They're right in the sense that purity doesn't matter. It's the weight in grams of cocaine. Whether it's 50% pure in your example.
Well, if it's 50% and you've got 200 grams, you've got 100 grams of cocaine. You'd
Correct.
Agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So it was represented in the briefs and reiterated here that there's no lab in Ohio that can test or that does test for the purity.
They say that. I think there's federal labs that do that, and I've had many cases with BCI. They have talented technicians. They can do it. It's just that they've chosen not to do it. But they've done that at their own peril.
Well, here's my question. When the legislature has testimony on these statutes, they would ask something of the proponents about their capacity. They're not going to put something in a statute and say that you've got to do this or you've, you know, and there's no capacity in the state to do it.
Well, I'm going to answer that in sort of a roundabout way with regard to the history of the cocaine statutory framework in Ohio. It used to be that cocaine, possession of cocaine has basically always been illegal in one form of, or another. And it used to be that if you possessed what was called a bulk amount or a unit dose, which the definition of bulk amount or unit dose included in the definition, the filler material, you could be penalized, your sentence could be enhanced. And that's what the Neal case says that they like to cite so much from 1990. The Neal case says we're just going to apply the statute as written, and at that time, the definitions included the filler material. We have no problem with that. We're also asking you to apply this statute as written. Then after those cases came along, after the bulk amount and unit dose days, there was a crack cocaine epidemic in this country that started in New York and L.A. and moved its way to the Midwest. So what the General Assembly did then is it kept the definition of cocaine but deleted any reference to bulk amounts or unit doses, and then it added a definition of crack cocaine, which in the definition of crack cocaine, it included the filler material right in the definition. And then we had experience under that statutory scheme.
Well, isn't that because to have crack cocaine, you have to have filler material? That's part of the recipe.
You, it was put in there, and then you could get weight to the total, total weight. It was
That's how crack cocaine was distributed. It had to have a compound with it that was going to allow it to be put into rock form, and then et cetera. So that was
right. So here is I'm going to get to my point, and I think answer your question.
All right.
We had the experience with the crack cocaine statute, and what experience taught us is basically that statutory scheme was thought to be discriminatory against minorities, specifically African Americans, because they tended to use crack cocaine versus the white drug of powder cocaine. So in 2011, they fixed that. In the preamble to the bill, which we cited in our additional authority last week, was to eliminate the difference in criminal penalties for crack cocaine and powder cocaine. So they did that in a very deliberate way. They took out the definition of old 2925-01GG of crack cocaine, eliminated the reference to crack cocaine, and tethered the penalty to possession of cocaine to the weight in grams of cocaine. They basically said, you're right, we don't care the form. Whether it's powder cocaine or crack cocaine, what we're worried about is how much cocaine do you have? And that is the intent of the statute, that's the history of the statute. In fact, that's the plain text of the statute. They never once argue, Justice Lanzinger mentioned the rule of lenity. We don't get to the rule of lenity unless the statutory text is somehow ambiguous. They don't argue that the text is ambiguous. They simply argue that you should not apply the words of cocaine. But taking out those words of cocaine from the statute would not only usurp the legislative power vested in the General Assembly under the separation of powers delegated by the people of Ohio in enacting this state's constitution, it would completely frustrate the entire point of the 2011 bill, which was to eliminate the difference in criminal penalties for crack cocaine and powder cocaine.
But so the weight still is equal then, whether it's crack or whether it's powder. It's weight.
But as you mentioned earlier.
And crack, by definition, based on recipe and usage, has to be a compound.
Right. So that would not, if you included the mixed materials for crack towards the weight, you would not be eliminating the difference in penalties between for possession of crack cocaine and powder cocaine, precisely because crack cocaine is typically mixed. You would be enhancing the difference in penalties, which
is. So how do they deal with that then with crack?
You can test it in a laboratory and determine how much cocaine.
And so you're saying crack is determined purely or just on purity?
You determine the weight of cocaine by doing a purity test, which can be done as they finally concede in their jurisdiction.
Well, they say it can be done, but they say BCI and the standard, you know, testing labs don't do it. It's not been necessary to do. And you're now, I mean, this is the case, and we have a conflict here with the Smith case, I believe, is the other case that, you know, has the conflict. And we've got to figure out which jurisdiction is correct and how you, what do you attribute, if we're going to use the word compounded mixtures and mean it can be a portion of. If we adopted that the compound and mixture would get you to the weight, are you saying that that would bring back the discrimination that was embedded in the crack cocaine difference?
If you included the mixed materials in the weight of for crack cocaine?
Well, if it's a compound, it's a compound, no matter what that mixed material is.
Well, you're looking for the cocaine. So if you, and basically they are asking you to go back to those days. The state is asking you to do that, to weigh the entire amount of crack cocaine, which is, they don't want you to do that, the courts to do that, or the prosecutor to do that. That's why they eliminated the definition of crack cocaine and are simply targeting how much cocaine do you possess. Before we're going to put you in prison for 11 years, we're going to determine how much cocaine you possess, because it's the cocaine that poses the danger to society. It's not the baking soda or the sugar. And they talked about duping someone by cutting it down. That's in trafficking cases. They never once charged this as a trafficking case. So basically, what we're asking you to do is apply the statute as written, thereby give meaning to the whole purpose of the 2011 amendment. But even if you do somehow find that the statute is ambiguous, which again, they are not arguing, we would agree with the comments of Justice Lansinger that the rule of lenity applies here.
Counsel, before you sit down, just so I at least can understand what you're saying about the crack, because there was a big upheaval that it was social unfairness.
Correct.
So is what you're saying is the way they achieved taking the unfairness out of the crack issue was to say it's just the cocaine and the crack.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
In order to determine that, you would have to be able to separate it out and tell what percentage is crack.
They can do that. For example, in DUI cases, the limit is 0.08. If the police said, well, we don't have a breathalyzer machine, therefore let us do something else, you wouldn't hold that. That would be absolutely no different.
That's a difference, because there's the state of the art that we know that would not be legitimate. But anyway, you've used your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Please affirm. Thank you.
Counsel, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds.
Counsel, I'm still having a hard time understanding how the state labs can determine how much cocaine is in crack and how much cocaine is in a brick. That is a combination of cocaine and other substances. You're saying you can't do that when you're looking at a brick, but you can with respect to crack?
No. Crack cocaine is not weighed. No crack cocaine. Well, number one, the differentiation between crack cocaine and cocaine is done.
I guess I can't comprehend how it is that you can determine there's even cocaine there.
They do a Nick test.
If you're unable to determine how much baking powder or sugar is there.
Well, that's the difference. I'm sorry,
just defies logic to me.
Well, it's the idea of something being present and the purity. They're apples and oranges. On the roadside, when they catch somebody in possession of cocaine, they can do a Nick test. All right, and they can tell that there's cocaine present in there. They don't know
what test?
A Nick test. When you're on the roadside, you can do a quick chemical test to see if the substance that you found has cocaine in it. Okay, because that's what.
Say you do a quick test. What exactly do you do?
Nick.
Right. I don't understand it completely, but they have a little packet and it has chemicals in it to determine whether the substance.
Those chemicals react with cocaine and that'll allow the officer to proceed.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
All right, get on to the purity versus weight.
Well, 48 states look at cocaine in grams. It's an aggregate weight. And the thing is that this State versus Smith is the case that has been given as the conflict, but you could have picked a case from every other jurisdiction. You could have picked State versus Ferguson in the 10th. You could have picked State versus Remy in the 4th.
So you're saying that the rest of the jurisdictions go with the Smith model, and this is an outlier. The 6th district is an outlier.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshal, will you adjourn court?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.